Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. The Beatles were right. All you need is love. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Burt Bacharach was maybe even more right, more prescient, when he said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And nearly every other songwriter, poet, artist who has ever put pen to paper and come to the same conclusion that humanity has been reaching for as long as we've been human, the conclusion that we need love. Love is the answer, that love wins. And I believe that. I really do. And yet, something about this particular moment makes those anthems feel like they're coming from very far away. It's like these songs are playing in another room. True. Yes, beautiful, yes, but somehow they don't quite seem to be reaching us where we actually are. Because where we actually are is exhausted. Where we actually are is in a world that has sorted itself into camps that regard one another with suspicion, with contempt, with something that looks a lot like hate. Where we actually are is a place where loving your neighbor has gotten complicated by the fact that your neighbor's politics feel dangerous to you, or that your politics feel dangerous to them. Where we actually are is a place where some people have started to feel genuinely unlovable. And if we're honest, we wonder sometimes whether we have started to feel unlovable to others. I'll speak for myself in saying that there are days when the call to love feels not just hard, but impossible. There are days when I want to give up on it entirely, not because I've stopped believing that it's true, but because I just can't find it in me to do it. I look for the love, and it isn't there. So what do we do with a passage like this one from 1 John? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. What do we do when the command feels impossible because our love tanks are on empty? The writer of 1 John isn't naive. They're not writing to a congregation that found it easy to love. The author is writing to a community under real pressure. A community that is fracturing, a community that knows what it's like to look across a divide at someone and wonder whether that person really belongs, if they're on the same side as God. And into a community like that, the author doesn't say, just try harder. Feel more warmly toward them. Summon deeper reserves of goodwill. The author says something more complicated than that. They say love is from God. Not from you. Not from your good intentions or your spiritual discipline or your capacity for empathy on your best days. Love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. The origin, The source of love is not in us. That's the thing that this letter keeps insisting on. The imperative, the command, let us love, is grounded in the indicative, in the truth that comes before it. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. We love because we were first loved. The sequence matters enormously. Love does not begin with us. It begins somewhere else entirely and arrives at us before we've done anything to deserve it. God's love entered a world that was not ready to receive that love. God's love entered into hostility and fear and rejection. God became flesh and died among us before we've gotten our act together. That's how love showed up. Not because we summoned it or asked for it. Not because we earned it. But because God decided to love us first. And then there's this line, this strange, striking line in the middle of the passage where the author says, no one has ever seen God. It's an odd thing to say in the middle of a passage about love, but I think the author means something precise by it. They're saying, you want to see God? You won't find God in a vision or in a revelation. You will find God in love that passes between people. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. The invisible God becomes visible, not in fire or a cloud, but in concrete, ordinary, costly love that moves between human beings. Which means that when love happens, real love, love that crosses the divide, love in conditions where it has no business showing up, in that kind of love, God is present. God is moving through those moments that did not originate with you or me. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. I think the fear that John is talking about is the fear of judgment, that deep and quiet dread that the verdict on your life, on whether you matter, is still open. That you're not enough. That God's love has conditions that you're somehow not meeting yet. Perfect love, the love that comes from God and not from us, casts that kind of fear out. Not because you finally get it right or figure it out, but because the love was never contingent on you getting it right. And John's pointing to something else too. The fear that is underneath so much of the hatred that we feel right now and the vitriol of this moment. People do not hate primarily out of strength. They hate out of fear. Fear of being displaced or forgotten, of losing what little they think they have. The weapon of this moment is fear. And God's answer? God's strange, impractical, inexplicable answer to that kind of fear, that kind of weaponry, is love. It doesn't make strategic sense. It wouldn't be what we would choose, but it's what God has chosen. So what does it mean for us on the days when we look for love and can't find it? When we have run out of warmth for people we are supposed to be loving. I think it means that we just get to rest in the truth that we are not the source. We were never the source. We're conduits. And a conduit's job is not to generate what flows through it. A conduit's job is to just stay open. So maybe the prayer for this moment, for a moment like this, is not, Lord, give me more love to give. Maybe it's more like, Lord, let me be loved again. Let the love that came before I was ready for it reach me again. Let me receive what I can't manufacture. Because that's where it starts. Not in our heroic efforts to try to love harder. It starts with God's stubborn, prior, inexhaustible love for us. A love that didn't wait for us to be lovable. A love that entered the world before the world was ready. A love that is, even now, looking for a way through. We love because God first loved us. God loved you first. God will love you last. And all the love that is between, that's what the world needs right now. So stay open, and God's love will flow through you. Amen.